Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Here we go, Taino Radio. Once again, this is DJ Sana Cody. We're live, not just in Taino Radio, but we're also live on Zoom. And I got some nice friendly people from throughout Turtle Island that's going to be joining me later on. I'm going to invite them in to share some words of wisdom, share from the heart, you know, because we're Taino. That's what we're all about. We're gentle. We're noble people, always in search of doing the right thing, right? Doing the right thing. Today, I just want to review a little bit about Zoom. On Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can come on live with me and the other people that are on. And, you know, we're going to share, we're going to chat and so on. Today, I wanted to do the show live on Blog Talk Radio as well, just to promote the Zoom session on Friday nights at 9 p.m. So don't be afraid. It's absolutely free. You just connect. And it's kind of a round table, kind of a group discussion. And I throw out different topics of, what it is to be Taino, all things Taino. That's right. You know, last time we did the Zoom session, I was talking to people about an indigenous worldview on what is a human being. Okay. And then on another show, I was talking about the four sacred medicines that was passed to us through our indigenous ancestral worldview. And the first medicine that was given to us was the mineral world, and that's through the character of Makokael. That's right, the mineral world. And then, and don't worry, we're going to discuss this in future sessions and on the creation stories of our ancestors. And then our second medicine that came to us is to treat people, the plant world. Without plants, without trees, we will not survive on this earth because of the poison, the toxin. So these beautiful trees, our tree relatives, they keep us alive. So that's the second medicine. So we got the minerals. And you need minerals, right? There's 100 minerals found in the ocean that's found in our blood, okay? That's why I love to go in that ocean, right? It's very cleansing. So we got the plant world. We have the tree world, okay? And we also have the animal world. Yahuwah was the person that came out the cave, and he turned into a bird. And there you go. The birds represent the animal world, and it's in our creation story. That's why indigenous peoples throughout the world, they love birds, and we decorate ourselves with these birds. And our ancestors, they would decorate the senis with bird earrings, feather earrings, and so on. And the Mexica used to adorn himself, herself with these beautiful feathers. The top feathers will be the wingspans, and then the bottom feathers will be the bottom of the bird. And when they take the Cohoma ceremony, they will, you know, if you go to a time capsule, go back to, say, 1490, when you see a vejique taking the Cohoma, it looks like they're a bird in flight. You see? So this is the animal world. And then the fourth medicine, it's a medicine that we can relate to, and that is humanity. That's right. We are part of nature. And the creator, creatress, blessed this Mother Earth, this earth, with a fourth medicine, and that's humanity. And in an indigenous world, throughout tribes, throughout the world, there's a common understanding of what is a human being. One of the aspects of human being, you go to the eastern direction, that's the physical, just like the rising sun, right, the physical. And then you have, on the southern direction, you have the mental. We are mental. We have mental health that we have to take care of and address. And then on the southern, and then the, in the western is the spiritual, the place of the dead, the west, the moon. And that's part of our nature, is we're spiritual. We make connections. And you can even say that this is the place where reasoning and our visions, they all meet. And then you got the fourth direction, which is north, is the emotionals, okay, the emotion, our feelings. So when you put all that together, you have the sacred human being. And this is why our ancestors, this is why indigenous peoples, they take humans very seriously. Why? Because we're in it together. We're a family, we're a society, and that goes to show that we're social beings, right? We're social. This has been proven day in and day out. You put a human being in solitary confinement, they will go absolutely crazy. Well, I shouldn't say crazy, but they will go insane, okay? Using a proper term, sorry about that. But basically, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, this is what makes a human being, okay? So that's a little summary we've been doing the last 2 weeks. So it's very, very important that many times throughout human history, we have many spiritual leaders that come up in our history of humanity. And you got people like the Buddha, right? You got people like Jesus, right? Krishna, right? And you got all these historical figures, Gandhi and so on. And what's their common denominator? They're talking about the human being. How can we heal ourselves? How can we be whole? And how can we help one another? How can we love one another? That right there is the indigenous way. Right there and then. With that being said, I want to play a song. It was written by my good buddy there, Edwin Cedeno, who's now in the spirit world, Wabe, with the ancestors. And he wrote a song, it was a medicine song, that talks about the Behike being instructed, being requested by the cacique to please heal the people, they're sick. And then the cacique, and then the Behike goes to the sacred mountain and looks for the plants. So this is the song that was written by Edwin Cedeno, who's in the spirit world now. He was my good teacher. So this is I Am the Medicine. Cedeño, the late, great Edwin Cedeño, created that song back in the 90s in his album called Taino. Very hard album to get. It's on CD. And wonderful man. The instruments he played was the mayohuacan, the traditional drum of the Taino, which the Spaniards, the invaders, did a great job in destroying these mayohuacans. Only one really survives through the test of time. Whenever they saw the mayohuacan, they would burn them because they feared this drum. On their end, they did a great job. In our end, it just gives us more ambition to create these drums, man. I know Edwin taught me how to create one, and I always try to teach people how to make their own, because that's what it's all about, empowering the people, empowering humanity. Taino, take it to the next level, looking back but going forward. So right now I'd like to open up the Zoom call. Hold on a second. And if anyone wants to jump in, and right now we're not live on Blog Talk Radio. I didn't advertise it, so I'm going to focus on Zoom. But for all you listeners on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for downloading the show. And we got some people here on Zoom. And the question I want to ask, what do you think about humans as medicine? You know, what do you think about that? And I know a lot of us, and sometimes I'm a victim of it. I don't want to say the word victim, but, you know, I get caught up, you know, and, you know, we talk about animal totems and we talk about the beauty of the animals and the plant world, you know, wow, the minerals. But often we forget that we are medicine. We're part of the sacred four medicines in our Taino creation stories. In every tribal society, we're the ones that are medicine as well. Sometimes we forget that. And there's a lot of mainstream religions. Sometimes they beat us up, right? They beat us up a lot. And they say that humans sometimes get a bad rap, you know? Sometimes we're referred to as either sinners or this and that. But in the indigenous way, put that to the side. We are medicine. Okay? Anyone on Zoom, you want to comment on that? What do you think about humans as medicine?
I can say something.
Great.
If you meet somebody and your heart blossoms like a little flower, that is a medicine to both. And the teacher is always the medicine to the student. Sometimes the sweet student is the medicine to the teacher. I think people don't realize how much power they have.
That's it.
They can share and heal people with it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word you use, power. A lot of indigenous healers and teachers, they always talk about this power that we possess that comes from all around us, the universe. We're part of this power, right? So we become these tools. That's awesome. You know, humanity, you know, we get a bad rap. So I think a lot of these healers throughout the history, one thing they try to teach their communities, we're like, hey, we're not all that bad. We're not all that, you know, we're good. We're medicine. So Hammy, I'd like to thank you for sharing that. That's pretty awesome. And again, I like to share, I learned this about the Navajo people that, you know, once a year they have this huge procession of their elders and their teachers and their most revered medicine people, and this is, you know, they have this long procession with the dancers and it's like the who's who, right, of all the people who are respectful in the community. You got the drums playing, you got the dancers, and all of a sudden at the end of the line, when everyone's finished marching, they have these sacred clowns. You know, and all of these sacred clowns are troublemakers. So what they do is when the sacred clowns show up at the end of the line, people go crazy. They start cheering, hey, all right, the clowns are here. And then you see the clowns, they leave the procession, they go into the stands, and they start mocking people. They start making fun of people, and they're like, yo, what's up, you know? And people start, like, they love them. They love the clowns, right? Who doesn't love a clown, right? And then, so what happens in the Navajo tradition, you know, each of these elders, they represent a certain style of medicine or society that they're part of. And then the clowns, okay, guess what they represent? They represent humanity. Okay, they're representing humans. They're representing the physical aspect of the human being. You know, we're out there, you know. The mental aspect, maybe the insanity of it all. The spiritual aspect, because, hey, it's good to make people laugh. That's spiritual. And also the emotional. People get carried away. So these clowns, they bring that out in the people, the human side of people. But what happens is, and what those sacred clowns are teaching, is that sometimes we don't pay attention to what we should be paying attention. So we look at these elders who are really putting in the work, you know, healing people, becoming tools, doing what they have to do to remain honorable people for the community. You know, we look at them, sometimes we say, oh, they're boring. Oh, yeah, that's grandpa. You know, this is, you know, we, you know, and then when the clowns come out, yo, what's up, yo? We get distracted. But that's part of it. That's the role of the clown, to distract you, because they represent humanity. So it's very important in Navajo tradition, they say, because you got to focus as well. It's just not about the party, but you also have to focus and be serious. So it's kind of that balance, that rhythm that we need to maintain. But I guess our nature as human beings, we tend to lose focus, and we tend to fail. We tend to mess up. But that's all right. It's all part of being human. And this is why these medicine people, many of them are committed to the way, so they can help us focus, okay? So it's not a bad thing, you know, getting distracted, failing. It's not bad per se. It's not an evil, but it's something that we can overcome through efforts of other people, community. And it's a concept a lot of people don't understand. It's an ancient concept of spirituality, indigenous. Very hard to understand. This is why my belief, this is my theory, indigenous people are in the front lines throughout the whole world, and they get beat up. We have a special word for it called genocide, right? And we as Taino, you know, we're like the ghost people. We've been coming up the ranks, trying to represent. And our own people, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, wherever, diaspora, they put us down. Like, well, what are you doing? You're not Taino. What's that all about? You know? You know, we threaten the establishment. What do you guys think about that? Anyone who wants to comment on that? Or if you want to write in the comments, if you're a little shy to talk, you can write in the comments and I'll read it.
100% people are in the fear of Taino excellence, mm-hmm. and that's why their own goal is to destroy us by brainwashing us that we don't exist,
mm-hmm.
and then to a larger degree, you know, economic marginalization and these other kinds of protective strategies, because they're not us, mm-hmm. so there isn't fear.
There you go. A lot of fear. Again, that's part of the emotional aspect of our nature as human beings, you know, emotions, fears, sadness, happiness, joy. It's a lot of work we have to do, right? It's a lot of work. This is why it's so blessed to have spiritual people to help, you know, to help us to stay focused, right? If not, we can die. We saw it in Christopher Columbus, right? We could actually get killed if we don't band together, help each other. Anyone else want to share something? I can just read it. You don't have to go live. It's up to you.
But the spiritual death is also very critical, because there's so many of us that are dead already, but living. They're just dead. Their eyes are dead. They don't know themselves. They're sleeping through life. So their spirit can come back to them.
You know, I remember back in the 90s, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know this. I used to be a Franciscan friar in the Capuchin tradition. And I remember I had the privilege of going to this conference with all these Franciscans, you know. We all got together. And we had a guest from Spain. He was a Spaniard priest. He was in, I think he was in his 80s. So someone told him, one of the friars, hey, we have a Taino here, man. He's from New York City via Puerto Rico. And he's a Taino. Can you believe it? So they says, oh, I want to meet him, right? So they brought him to me. I was actually eating dinner. And then he comes to me and he says, the other friar that was introducing him to me, Franciscan friars, they're like monks, but not so much. They don't live in monasteries. But so he comes to me. He goes, I hear they tell me you're Taino. And he says, he's saying this in Spanish. Yo, me dicen que tú eres Taino. And I said, sí, yo soy Taino. And then he goes, the Tainos don't exist. They're all dead. Like, with this anger, man. Like, yo, this is a sweet old man in front of me yelling at me because I'm saying I'm Taino. You know? And that just, like, and it was like a hush in the crowd, like in the dining room. It's like, holy damn. I just, like, pressed every button this guy ever had. You know? So that talk, huh?
Got triggered because his brainwashing faced cognitive dissonance.
There you
go. But he's been brainwashed his whole life that the Taino don't exist. But when he saw the reality, he got angry. That's a simple cognitive dissonance from brainwash.
Yep.
It shows that he was brainwashed.
Oh, let me tell you, he's 80 years old. He's a really sweet old man. He spent a lot of time in Spain doing the work, you know, with the poor and stuff. But for some reason, whatever he learned about the thing, you know, it just blew him away, and he was so angry. So that catapulted me to saying, you know what? I can't stay in this order anymore. I have to shed my shell. I have to get out of here. And I have to show this man that I'm not the only one. There's many of us, you know. I have to get, and that's what happened. I eventually left. I left the order, but it blew my mind. That helped me though. You know, you take a negative, make it a positive, and that really catapulted me to who I am now as a Taino. So it's like, wow, man. But I saw that fear. He was trembling. Like, yo. You know, once in a while, I bump into people who are threatened by the Taino identity. But this guy was like, yo, poor guy, he's going to need a heart attack. I really feel bad. I feel bad for him.
Because what you basically told him was that all of his textbooks were lies, all of his history were lies, all of his religion were lies, and all of his life was a lie. And that's got to hurt people with a big ego. So obviously he must have been having a stroke. Spiritually.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I'm thankful for that time because, my God, you know, it really blew me away. And, you know, so, you know, through the years, I always kept a journal and I kind of learned from different people and, you know, different faiths as well. But for the past, since 2020, when we were in quarantine, I started focusing on that indigenous Caribbean worldview, you know, our ancestral worldview, and how we can apply it to the 21st century. And I remember when we all got started thinking about COVID and this and that, you know, I kept thinking about the smallpox. We survived the smallpox. Smallpox should have killed our whole community. And here we are, man. Okay, so we have a comment. Wawa says, she says, ancient clowns were considered sacred as empaths and healers. Lakota have Hioka. In ancient Egypt had clowns who filled the dual role of priests. Wow, I did not know that about ancient Egypt. I did not know that they had clowns. Yeah, man, the sacred clowns. It's really, it's kind of an old tradition that it's almost dying off, you know. But a lot of these traditional tribes still have these sacred clowns, these Hayokas, you know, the empaths, the healers. Thank you for sharing that, Grandma Sesh. Yeah, and they represent everything positive and negative about humanity. Oops, got a fire engineer. I don't know if you hear that. New York City, land of the Lenape. So, yeah, that's really powerful. You know, on a future show, I want to promote this really hard. when you read the Taino creation stories, they're all full of tricksters. They're all full of Hiyokers, and one day I'm going to give a show on that real soon to start the new year, right? So it's part of our tradition. You know, I want to read a little bit from the 200 Ways to Heal from Trauma, an Indigenous Caribbean healing manual that I wrote, and it's something I wanted to share with the world, especially our community. And it's 200, you know, I don't know if you guys experience this who are listening right now or in Zoom, but our grandparents, great-grandparents, uncles, aunties, they always had a saying. They always had a way to say a certain saying for every occasion. So when I wrote this, it was kind of that tradition, like, you know, instead of writing paragraphs and this and that, chapters, I wanted to pinpoint key sayings that we could all relate to that's indigenous in indigenous Caribbean. So there's 200 of them. Does any of you guys want to give me a number and I'll just read from the number you give me? One to 200. And we can talk about that.
77.
All right. Double seven. Wow, that's a good one. Happiness begins with self-love. What do you guys think about that? Happiness begins with self-love.
That is so profound.
You know, there's one thing that I've learned about our ancestors. When you read the stories and you read the accounts, the historical accounts, as Columbus said, whenever they spoke, it was always with a smile. You know, they were always trying to help them out. You know, they were always trying to be hospitable. That's our thing, man. You cannot be hospitable if you're not happy. You know? So our ancestors, I know they tried their best to be as happy as they could by helping other people, helping each other. Okay, I got another number, 22. All right, double two. Right, with two digits, right? Okay. Rest, R-E-S-T, is the medicine for a tired body. Buy a hammock and feel the nice breeze from the ocean. You got to think about that.
That's the best profound medicine I've ever heard in my life.
So resting, you got to rest. What happens if you don't sleep? You're going to die. You're going to go crazy. You know, I remember reading that the heart, you know, when it pumps the blood, the brain is, you know, sending those messages. You have to go to sleep. Got to give your body a break. Physical, right? So rest is the medicine for a tired body. So if you're tired, rest. Go to sleep. And our ancestors, they slept in hammocks. Feel like, yo, I just want you to guys... For 10 seconds, I just want you to meditate on that. You just got a hammock, you're going to lay on it, and guess what? You know what? Let me set the tone. Hold on a second. Let's do this right here, live on Zoom and Black Talk Radio. I got a surprise for you guys. Let's do a meditation here, right? It's nighttime in the Caribbean. Pick an island. It's like 75 degrees. Ah, let's make it 77 degrees. You're right by the ocean. There's a lot of coconut trees. You're going to tie up your hammock to these coconut trees. There's a nice breeze coming from the ocean. You just had a tough day at work or whatever you did that day or today. So I want you to lay on that hammock, feel the breeze, look at the full moon, close your eyes, and listen. right, man. What do you guys think? You got any comments? You can write it down. You can share it verbally. You all think about
okay. it. Okay. I laughed so hard, and I exhaled, and that was just, my whole body was like a wave of energy, because that was just so relaxing, because I felt at home.
There you go. So you need that. You need to physically rest mentally, emotionally, and once you do that, you're gonna have a spiritual experience. It's called sleep, relaxation. Thank you, Guava says you got some good numbers. You got one more number, 33. Oh, look at this. Sleep helps your brain nerves remain strong. Let me read that again. Sleep helps your brain nerves remain strong. What do you guys think about that?
I think that we are constantly in a state of sensation, and the brain is constantly being sparked. Then when we go to rest, we can basically reset and make us stronger. It's like an engine that's left on for too long. You have to recover the battery by turning it off.
There you go. That's right. Beautiful. Thank you, Tam Yang. You gotta sleep, man. That's a medicine right there. You should always include that in your medicine bag, in your habits, sleep. For adolescents and children, I believe they need at least 9 hours of sleep, especially if they're growing. And I think for adults, it's 8 hours. And as you get older, you don't need as much hours. You can get away with, I think it was 6-7 hours, but you still got to rest. Very important. Hemiang, do you have a number for me?
What about 55?
Wow. Yo, you guys are picking on double numbers. I like it. Let me see, 55. Hold on. Ready for this one? Love life. What do you think? Love life.
Human birth. That's the exact thing. We took a form. We descended from void or from a different space time, or we came from the semi. Because I know some of us were sleeping in the semi. We're sleeping in the stone. I know this.
Wow.
If we weren't here, we have to be grateful. And our ancestors made us get born. We came through. We have to be grateful for all the things and be in love with this place. We're here to create that joy. The Baike and our Taino especially. Other people, maybe they don't create joy. Maybe they create chaos. But us, I know we're here to literally raise the vibration and heal this place. We can do it through caring and happiness.
There you go. Guava says, she wrote in the chat, sleep also brings you in another dimension to communicate with ancestors. Absolutely correct. That's that spiritual realm, right?
Yep.
And that's been well documented by different traditions about how your spirit can leave your body to learn different things in the spirit realm. Wow. Good stuff. Great comments. How about this? I'll throw one out there. 71. The water of the ocean is life for the fish. What do you guys think about that one? The water of the ocean is life for the fish.
It's too complicated with a paradox. That's why I try to say, if prisoner is in prison, he should laugh. Be in love with life. Even the air, the birds that fly in the air, they must be thinking, if only I could swim in the ocean like fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the place that you are, you're interdependent with it. At the same time, you're part of it. It's part of you. You are that vibration of love. You might as well love it. So I think fish swim in the sea. They look up and they're like, wow, food has legs. But at the same time, birds looking down thinking, wow, my food is my fish, but if only I could swim. So think us down the line. We have to just realize that we're one with all of that and still be happy and enjoy the absurdity of this human journey.
Yeah. You know, the other day, I love YouTube. You know, it's one of my favorite, you know, pastimes. Look at the different videos and creators, you know. And I bumped into this guy that he tends to save animals, but it's weird. He goes into to supermarkets and sometimes they sell live fish. So he loves fish, so he'll save them. Instead of buying them to eat it, he'll make an aquarium for them. And they're from like regular grocery stores. So there's a video I bump into where he saves a lobster. And I think we all have this experience. We go into these supermarkets and there's a huge tank and there's these lobsters in there all bunched together. And they have these huge rubber bands on their claws. And I never see them feeding them, you know. So this guy, I forget his name, but he buys a lobster and he got a 55-gallon tank for it that he had at home. And for 1 year, he's filming this lobster. He calls it Leon, you know. So little by little, they're learning from each other. He didn't know anything about lobsters. He had to research it, but he just wanted to save it. So this lobster, you know, in these videos, you're seeing his evolution. Like, oh, my God, a lobster is a being, man. It has its own personality. And this man, it's called Leon the Lobster, if you go on YouTube. You know, it's amazing. Like, he brought this lobster back to life, you know. And those rubber bands that were in the claws, it took a couple of weeks for Leon to use his claws again. It was badly damaged from the rubber bands. So I looked at that man and said, man, you can't get any more indigenous than that, man, to make a friend, a relative, you know, and a lobster. And then, you know, when you see these people, he had like 1 million views. And I'm like, people get it, man, you know, but sometimes, you know, we're stuck in this world of the material, the physical realm, and we forget that, man, we're also emotional, mental, and spiritual, and so are lobsters. I won't give this away, but the thing that blew me away, that you know, filming the lobster, a lobster is like a cat. When it eats, after they eat, they clean themselves, they groom themselves. And a lobster does the same thing. They groom themselves. And after they eat, like he'll give them clams to eat, and after they eat, they take the shells. And then the lobster, Leon, puts it far away where he sleeps or eats. Right? He eats where he sleeps, but he takes all the shells and puts it away, just like dishes, you know? And it's like, yo, that's perfect, man. Like, you're not going to sleep where you eat, you know? You're going to tidy up, take your dishes, and you're going to put them, you know, somewhere else. So.
Just human beings having compassion.
Wait, say that again?
Sorry, I said it's not human beings having compassion for those animals that they consider food.
Yes.
Those animals have.
Yes, and it's funny because in the comments, I read the comments of the videos, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, when are you going to sell it so we can eat it? It's like people were just like brutal, man. So, oh, so Guamasesh said it's part of our creation story that Yayaye's death led to the creation of the sea and the fish from the bones of food for humans. Water's life. Okay, you're talking about water's life. Yeah. And, oh, you're talking about the fish, right? The ocean, yeah. Yeah, so this, man, I forget the guy's name, but if you go on YouTube, it's called Leon the Lobster, and this man really is dedicated to this lobster and filming it. And the thing that was cool was he transformed to a bigger aquarium kind of thing, and it got depressed, the lobster, because it kind of lost its home, and now it had to readjust to a new home, and it took him a while, I think a week, to adjust again to a new home. And once it did, it started creating like burrows and different things and tidying up, and create a little cave. It was like amazing, man. This lobster is like intelligent. You know, so again, we indigenous people, we know this, man. We know this. But many of us have forgotten. So we're part of the four medicines. We're not different from the animals. We're relatives. That's the indigenous worldview. Does anybody have one more number? Just throw it out. Any one more number? Remember, it's all about healing the trauma. 1492.
99, 99.
Right. You like those double numbers. Wow, this is a good one. Treat your friend or your partner nicely. Right? Treat your friend or your partner nicely. You know, sometimes with the hardships, right, the arguments or the disagreements, at the end of the day, it's about being nice. Being nice. So let me get a song here. Let me get one more song that, see if we could, hold on, looking at my list here, see what we can do it. You guys want a Taino song or any song?
Taino song.
Right, let's go to Atabe, the Earth Mother, right? What do you think, Atabe? Edwin wrote this beautiful song. I'm always playing it. It's the Atabe song. We are her children. She is our mother. She is Atabe.
Atabe, ragua, guabibi, guarabibi. Atabera gua gua bibi gua guaraba gua. Atabera gua gua bibi gua guakiana guti. Atabera gua guasuimako. Atabera gua guasuimako.
There you go, guys. There's Edwin Cedeno. There's a beautiful song called Atabe, the Atabe song. Well done, Edwin. Wherever you are in Guave, your music lives on. This is what we need to do as people, indigenous. We have to honor our ancestors, people before us, man, you know? What are the secret names of Atabe? And what are their meanings? Whoa, good question. Jamman, we got a question in the chat room. In the Taino's calling song, what are the sacred names of Atabe? What is Atabe? Atavera, Suimaco, Suimaco, Atavera, Mamona. And there's one more, I forget it now. Ita, which is related to the moon. Just five names altogether. We will dedicate the next one on that. How about that? Let's talk about Atabe, you know? Ooh, cool. Hold on a second. Our Earth's Mother. You know what? Let's do the next show on that because that's loaded. I could spend a pito. Yeah, I could spend like a whole hour, 2 hours on that. How about this? Let's etch it in stone. Next Friday, we're going to talk about, because it's right in the preface of the creation stories. Yermao, yeah. Desbatalame de las Casas, Ramón Pané, okay? That's two of the main persons that mentioned these words, these names, and they all had different meanings. Remember, these are from the colonizer's interpretation, but we can break down the words using the Arawak languages that survived. So if you want, let's go in deep next week, next Friday. Let's go in deep on the... on the supreme being. And right in the preface, the supreme being, not just one, but two. And Yokahu Bagua Manakoti is mentioned as the primary principal creator. But this is an interesting sentence that Bane wrote, okay? Check this out. No, I'm just reading your comments right now. The key thing is here, what do you call this? That Yokahu Bagua Marakotin, the principal being, had a mother. But wait a minute. If this principal being had a mother, shouldn't this mother be part of this creation story or this creation creator, creatress? There you go, man. So you know what? I'm going to get the cliffhanger, right? Next week. Next Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to break it down, okay? But basically, these words of Atabe, the true meaning, is related to the moon, okay? It's related to the moon, which is our sacred moon, those feminine energies, okay? And Mamona, Mother, Yamao, Apito is all related to the moon, okay? And so we could get into the language next week, okay, just briefly. There's some great scholars that did some great work on that. You know, Karaya, right, the moon. It's all related to that moon. But we got to break it down. We can do that next week, okay? And we can compare the different languages like Guarifuna, Arawak, and so on. So I just want to end the show right now, but definitely it's related to the Earth Mother, who had a beautiful son in Yokahu, and they both created this beautiful world, and they brought four medicines to this planet that we call Mother, Itiwakahubaba, and that is the animal world, the mineral world, the tree world, of the plant world, and the humans. That's right. We're medicine. Can't forget human beings. We are the medicine. We carry it, right? And that's beautiful, man. So pat yourself in the back. You are sacred. You are the best. But you're not number one. You know why? Because we share it with the animals. We share it with the mineral people. Okay? We share that privilege with the tree people. So we're relatives. Okay? We're relatives. But somehow, as a community, world community, we forgot that. So we want to exploit the minerals. We want to exploit the trees. You want to exploit the animals and so on. And guess what? There's even people that want to exploit human beings. Can you imagine that? So we as an indigenous people, we have to bring back these, we have to bring back the honoring, man. That's our job. That's it. Simple. As an indigenous people, we honor these four medicines. So why are we against human trafficking? Because human beings are sacred. Why do we fight against deforestation? Because those are our relatives, man. So we can go on and on. Absolutely. That's right. At home, as always, for your teaching and sound quality. Thank you. Thank you, Weba Sesh. I got one more song. I'm going all the way. And we're going to end the song with this. We're going to end the show with this song. I'm going to go all the way to Guyana, to the Arawak people of Guyana. You know, when you ask an Arawak person in Guyana, hey, where your ancestors came from? And they say, hey, we came from the north. You know, a lot of those Arawaks, they went to South America trying to stay alive from these invaders. So this is an old song, right? Sung by an Arawak man from, I would say, I think this song's back from the 1950s. It was recorded and from Guyana, Arawak from Guyana. And the song is entitled Goodbye, My Friend.
Oh, goodbye, goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, goodbye, my friend. For I'm going away to leave you now. Then Bombay we shall meet again. Oh, this is not my place. Oh, this is not my home. For I'm going away to leave you now. Then Bombay we shall meet again. Goodbye, goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, goodbye, my friend. For I'm going away to leave you now. Then Bombay we shall meet again. Oh, this is not our place. Oh, this is not my place. For I'm going away to leave you now. Then Bombay we shall meet again.
Thank you, thank you, wherever you are, if you're in the spirit world, it's been a long time you sang that song. Goodbye, my friend, I'll see you all soon. Tune in on Friday nights, 9 p.m. in Zoom or Block Talk Radio, Taino Radio. We'll hit you guys up soon. Actually, thank you, you're welcome. Bomatun, thank you for tuning in. Guavance, Shiga Hamyang, thank you all for being with us. And, I'll see you all soon. Thanks for tuning in. And next week, same time, we're going to talk about Squaba. Atavida. And guess what? We'll talk about her son, too. Yokahu, what do you think about that? Okay? God bless you all. Atavida, Yokahu, and my fellow human beings right here. You guys are the best. Peace out, y'all. God bless you all.